I'm ready. How about you? How many of you have been here for the whole series? See your hands. Nice. Good. It's been a great series, a really good series. We've had some great teaching. The first week, Pastor Joe brought a word about hills and valleys. You know, so many times in life we look forward to being on that mountaintop. That's not where the growth happens. This morning I was watching on TV, and it happened to be about mountains, so it brought back to my memory what he talked about. And up on top of these mountains, once you reach this certain plateau, I'll say spiritually, you kind of just level off. There's no growth up there. But down in the valleys, that's where all the water runs off to. That's where the greenery is. That's where we grow, down in the valleys. Then the ladies brought a message for us, which was great. They talked to us about priorities. I love today I see some people in their ball uniforms. They're playing ball, but they still got a priority. Amen. That's great. They talked about priorities in our home. They talked about how important it is that as the leaders of our homes, that we set priorities with church, with work, with Bible studies, just what we do. What are our priorities? Think about them. And then last week, Pastor Joe brought a message on the joy of the Lord. See, the joy of the Lord is our strength because family matters. That's what this whole series about is family matters, how important it is. Because family is so important. Family matters. So, see, without the joy of the Lord, I have no strength. And if I don't have strength, how can I fight? That's what I want to talk about today is fighting. You've had three groups of wonderful teachers. Well, today I have no intentions on teaching. I preach. So my veins will probably stick out. I'll probably get excited. Because when the Lord gives me an opportunity to preach, when he gives me a word, I pray that he stands with me, that he strengthens me so that his word we preach fully through me. So today that's my prayer, that he stands with me, that he strengthens me, because his word needs to be preached fully through me. And he's given me a word. Unfortunately, I've probably already preached this 15 times in 2 days to myself, because I can't preach it to you until I've heard it, until I've grasped it, until I've grown on it. I have to grow on it before I can give it to you. Correct? What good is it if I come up here and give you a bunch of empty words, but it's not anything I know or apply myself? It's empty words. See, our messages should be more like life than a library. Because if I just stand up here and go over book after book after book, but I give you nothing in life, what good is it? So today, I will intertwine my life with my message. Because family matters, and you guys are family to me. So you matter to me, so I want to involve you in my family matters. Because family matters. It's so important that we do this. See, I want to show you a little video. First, let's practice something, okay? I want you to repeat after me. Repeat after me, okay? Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Come on with it. What was that? Okay. Just wanted to make sure that you know you can give me feedback. If you might even want to stand up and go, yeah, come on, Pastor Jason. Or you might just want to look down and go, whoa. That's okay. Just give me feedback, because family matters. I want to know that you're engaging with me as I preach, not just sitting there staring at me because I'm bald and it's reflecting on you. I want you to engage in the Word of God because it's living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It needs to pierce you today to make a difference for tomorrow. I got a video I want you to watch.
The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. So today, I will give no place to fear or failure. I will not accept a trace of apathy in my attitude or actions. I will reject complacency and embrace the greatness that God has planted inside of me. I will waste no opportunity to glorify God and maximize everything he has entrusted to me. I will fight. My battle is not against flesh and blood, but against a spiritual enemy who opposes me. So I will draw the battle lines and face my enemy with a bold determination. My enemy fights against me because he fears me. Every time I resist him, he must flee. And every time he reminds me of my past, I will remind him of his future. I will make no excuses, but through every obstacle, I will find a way. I will not procrastinate my progress. I will not defer my destiny. I will not waver when I'm weak. I will not cower when my circumstances take a turn for the worse. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will fight. Even if I lose the battle, I will win the war, because I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I will reject the lies that echo in my mind, telling me that I don't have what it takes, that my best is behind me, or that humiliation awaits me. The devil is a liar, and my God always causes me to triumph. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord, I will fight. I'm unashamed to represent a kingdom that is unshakable. No one will be able to stand against God's plan for me all the days of my life. With my God, I will advance against every troop. With his help, I will scale every wall. Though my enemies surround me, my God surrounds my enemies. Though they may come at me one way, they will flee seven ways. Because no weapon formed against me will prosper. And every evil thing that rises against me, I will condemn, I will fight. My heart is steadfast. My purpose is immovable. I am always abounding in the work of the Lord. And my potential is unlimited because the limitless God lives within me. I will fight. The cross is before me. The world is behind me. I'll never turn back. I'll never give up. I'll never settle. I'll never stop short. I will press toward the mark for the prize that is already mine. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate me from my God. And if my God is for me, who can be against me? I will fight.
Amen. My potential is unlimited because the limitless God lives in me. We got to grasp that the one who lives in us is greater than the one who lives in the world. I wanted my wife to come up here with me today with boxing gloves. She refused to do it. I don't know why. She always wins. But so many times in our homes, that's who we think we're fighting against. We think we're fighting against our kids because they're rebelling. We think we're fighting against our wife because she made me take the trash out. We think we're fighting against the ones in our homes, but we're not. I want to read a verse to you this morning, Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The first thing we have to learn is who we're fighting. Then we have to learn his tactics. You see, one thing about the devil is he doesn't know when to quit. The devil, if he would have stopped with me when it got bad, I would have never turned to Christ. But he had to push me to a point that was unbearable, is what he did. He didn't know when to quit. If he would have just got me drinking a little booze, a little of that, man, I could have lived the rest of my life. But he kept pushing me and pushing me till it became unbearable, and then I broke. I broke and I reached out to Christ, and I said, Jesus, I can't do this. See, in our homes, he's trying to push us. He's trying to destroy the family, because family matters and he knows it. He knows how important it is that we remain a unit under one roof. And it's not always easy. There's days when my wife wants to strangle me. Probably more than one. Probably quite often. Some of you just, as you pray right now, pray for my wife. She really needs it. The enemy's goal, his goal is destruction. To destroy the family unit. That's his goal. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that we have an enemy and that it's not our spouses, it's not our children, it's not our parents who love us and try to direct us in the right way? We have an enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. His goal is destruction. I'm going to give you some of his tactics. See, until we realize his tactics, how can we ever fight against him? If I'm not aware of the fact of what he's doing to my emotions, if I'm not aware of the fact that he's trying to get me a little bit disappointed, in my home with my family, disappointment is one of his number one. It's one of the number one ways he does it. He gets us disappointed. I get so disappointed sometimes. My wife gets extremely disappointed. I start projects. I never finish them at the house. Right now, I've built this nice remontora house. Of course, nothing's finished painting. All the trim's not done. We have closet doors here, no closet doors here. The outside's not painted. And I asked her, I said, can you give me some things that are disappointing? How do I disappoint you? Well, no, you don't disappoint me. I said, now we're lying. There's no need in lying. One of the things we have to do is we got to get real. We have to be real. We have to recognize what the enemy's doing. See, so then every time my wife walks through the door, she sees this closet door missing, and an offense begins to build in her. You know what an offense turns into? Offense. An offense turns into a fence that divides us, and it stands between us, and it blocks us from each other because the enemy loves disappointment. What about with our kids? My kids are absolutely spoiled rotten. One of their name is spoiled and the other one is rotten. I have two tattoos with their pictures, spoiled and rotten. No, not really. But they are. They're spoiled. They don't appreciate things right. Do your kids appreciate it when you get them this or when you get them that, or does it come to a place of expectancy? Isn't that disappointing? So we get disappointed, so then offense comes between us and our kids. You know, we might lash out at them with words, with a harsh tone, with, you know, because we get disappointed. Because we get disappointed. That's one of his tactics. His goal is destruction. One of his tactics is disappointment. What about when you, everything in you loves to come to church and worship, but your spouse refuses to come with you? So you get disappointed. Because it's not easy, is it? Because you want to do the next right thing, but you can't get them to do one right thing. So it's disappointing. That's one of his tactics. We get disappointed. Do you know what he does then? Then he loves to come in and distract us. We get disappointed, and then we get distracted to avoid the disappointment. Does that make sense? This is a yes, this is a no. Hey, let's try this again. Repeat after me. Amen? Okay. What was that? Okay, just check and make sure you're still with me. Okay. So he comes in and he distracts us. One of the main ways that the enemy tries to distract me, I'm a business owner. So he loves to try to get me busy. Because, you know, you got to have money to give to help people that need, right? Got to have money to spoil my kids rotten, right? Got to have, amen, I heard an amen, see? Got to have money just to live, to pay the bills. So he loves to try to distract me and take every spare moment that I have. You know what busy stands for? Bound under Satan's yoke. So when he gets me busy, he gets me bound under his yoke, is what he does. And his yoke isn't easy, it's not light. It gets heavy. Because I think that I have to carry the weight of everything going on in my life. I've got 11 or 12 employees, and I think I have to provide for them. I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to, oh my goodness, how am I ever going to do it? I don't have to. That's not my job. Because Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide, he's the provider, not me. That this message may be preached fully through me, that's not just with my words, that has to be with my actions. That has to show everyone that works for me that God is the provider, not Jason. See, because they won't be with me forever, and when they leave, they need to understand that it's God who provided while they were with me and God who provides after they leave me. Because it's him that does it. But I get distracted. What are your distractions? Let me word it this way. Let me throw it on you for a minute. I'll talk about myself, now I want you to think about you. What are your distractions? I have been fasting from Facebook for 3 weeks, and more than likely, I'm not ever getting back on it. I'm done with it because it distracts me. You ever caught yourself looking at your thing going down the road, driving, looking? We signed a paper not to text and drive. What about Facebooking and driving? You get consumed with it. It's okay. I'm just looking at it for a second. Let's be real. Let's just be real for a second. What about Facebook? What about Facebook? What about Netflix binging? Just finding a series and you so want to be distracted, so you binge on Netflix so you don't have to pay attention to anything going on around you. That's just real. None of you do that though, do you? You guys are all more saved than me because I do both of those. I watch TV. I used to get on Facebook to distract myself from the reality of the disappointment because the enemy loves to do that. He loves to get us distracted because once we get distracted, we forget about what? The one who's most important. See, when family matters, if I don't work on this relationship right here with my family because they matter, how can I ever work on this one? Because if I say I love God but I hate my brother, I have to work on this to get this right. Have to. Because if you're bringing your offering, leave it. Go make amends with who you got something going on with. Go make it right. He said, I don't even want what you're bringing to me right now. Leave now and go make it right. Because we have to work on this. Because family matters. I've seen so many people let little things come in, offenses, which lead to distraction, which lead to what ultimately brings a house down. You know what ultimately brings the house down? Division. Division is what brings the house down. Because what does the Bible say about division? Matthew 12:25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. See, everything the enemy throws at us is wrapped in deception. It's a lie. It's really not that bad that I don't take the trash out. It's really not that bad that even when I'm cooking, the spatula disappears to get washed. I'll be sitting there, and I'm cooking, and I'm like, where did that go? And I look over, and she's just smiling, washing dishes. But it's really not that bad, is it? Right. But it turns into a disappointment. An offense is what it turns into. It turns into an offense, and that offense leads to a distraction. And then I forget how beautiful my wife's blue eyes are. Because I get disappointed, so I get distracted, so I get to division. And I start looking other places instead of where I'm supposed to be looking. We're just going to talk real. Your kids should have went to class. I'll get real here in just a minute. This is why we have children's church sometimes. This is why on Friday night, and I'm going to keep it a lot more tone than I do on Fridays. Friday nights, we get real. I don't like sweets, so I don't put sugar on much of anything on Fridays. And we keep it real because life is real. Life is real hard. It's real good. Don't get me wrong. There's lots of good things, but we have to face the reality of it, that this is the enemy's. His goal is destruction, and his tactics are disappointment, offense, distraction leads to division. Because if he can divide us, see, God said the two shall become one. The enemy wants to take the two, the one, and make them two again, is what the enemy wants to do. God said the two shall become one. The enemy wants to take the one and make them two. He wants to divide us because a house that's divided won't stand. You know, sometimes I've been in jail once or twice or three or four times. I've been incarcerated a couple of times for here and there. You know, the worst prison I've ever been in is right here. It's been in my home with the disappointment, with the distractions. It was nothing like being in that cell. In that cell, I knew I didn't have to deal with nothing. I was by myself. But living in a home where I'm divided sucks, man. It's hell on earth. Is what it is. I'm sitting in a home where I don't even want to talk to my kids because I feel so disappointed in the fact that they're not where I think they should be. Maybe in their reading, maybe in their math, because I didn't do very good in school, so I want to push them to do harder. Or I made straight A's, and why can't they make straight A's? So I get disappointed. So I live in a house that becomes divided. And then the next thing you know, you got your separate bedrooms. And in marriage, you shouldn't have your separate bedrooms because you got to get together. Everybody get that? Okay, good, just checking. You shouldn't, because that's a house divided. I want my kids to know that I love my wife. We have prayer time, because I love my wife. I love my wife. My kids see me. They hear me tell my wife how beautiful she is. They see me kiss my wife and tell her she's beautiful. Because, you know, the man I used to be, I don't want my kids to pick that guy, because they usually pick their dad. You know that, right? And I know the way that in my house growing up, my dad talked. Pops, you ain't here today, are you? Good. My dad's not the same as he used to be either. But I remember how he used to talk. I remember the phrases that were said. I don't want my daughters picking a guy like that. So my house is not going to be, I'm not going to be disappointed all the time in my kids. Sometimes it happens. Does that disappointment turn into an offense, though? A house that's divided will not stand. So as we start to believe these lies, think about your house for a minute. What's going on in your homes today? What's going on in them? Are you one unit? Or are you three separate? Are you five separate? Does everybody always do their own thing? Electronics are awesome. They're great. Because they teach my kids, they discipline my kids, they distract my kids so that I can do what I want to do. Any of you guys do that? Go play this so I can do what I want to do? Yeah, we do. Distract them. So then I can binge on Netflix because they can't watch that show, right? So send them there to play that video game. But you know what? I'll guarantee you one thing. God wants us to win. He doesn't want us to be defeated by division. Why else would he say we're more than conquerors through him who... Why else would he say that? Why else would he say that he gives us victory in all these things? We're more than conquerors. So today you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice to move past these things of the enemy after you recognize them. So do you see any of this happening in your life? Maybe you don't see them because you walk around like this. With blinders on. I don't want blinders in my life. I want to see that I'm not fighting against my wife, that I'm fighting against powers and principalities. I want to understand that. She's awesome. I credit her for 97% of my marriage making it. I get 3%. And I'll claim that proudly. That 3%'s mine. It's her. Because she's just awesome. So how do we deal with disappointment? How do I fight for my family? What do we do to win this battle? Because family matters, right? Family matters. Why else would I get up here when I'm sweating over there thinking, this is not Friday night, and I'm going to get on the stage. Pastor's already told me 6 times not to touch the air conditioner, to hold my microphone up, quit pointing at you guys with it. And now I'm distracted from everything I'm supposed to say. You know why I'm going to get up here anyway? Because family matters and you're my family. Because the family of God is my family. Because I have to do what I'm supposed to do, which is let the message be preached fully through me. Because you matter to me. You matter to Pastor Joe. You matter to Pastor David. You matter to Miranda. You matter to all of the staff here at BCC. I want you to know that today, that you matter to us. You are somebody special. I don't care the lies that have been told to you. I don't care what they've told you, why they left you. You're special, and we love you dearly. And we're honored to call you family. And that's why we do what we do. So what's the first thing we need to do? We need to forgive. How do we mend the disappointments? How do we mend the distractions? For me, to mend the distractions means that I get rid of them. Maybe you got it. We didn't have cable for like 6 years. Golly, the second worst thing I ever did next to drugs was getting cable TV back in my house. It's horrible. Cable, it's horrible. There's nothing on it. You know, I've got a little problem with my brain. What do they call that? ADD. So when you give me a remote control, do you know what that does? I watch one show for about 4 seconds. That really helps with my ADD, just so you know. I'll be up at like 2. You know, I go to sleep, and then I wake up about every hour, so I wake up at like 2, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, Nature Channel, history, yeah, yeah, yeah. Who's preaching? Oh, Joseph Prince, he said grace, next. Just flip, 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 flip. You go to Facebook, you're one of those stalkers on Facebook. You don't actually post nothing. You just look at everybody else's junk, right? Right? You just scroll and look at your history. Who all you been stalking? Uh-huh. We're going to be real. I know so many people that like, yeah, I look at Facebook all the time. I'm like, you've never posted nothing. It's called stalking. That is our new method. Now you don't have to follow them in a car. You don't have to mail them letters with no return address. You just go to Facebook. And it works. Are you a stalker? Oh, don't point at your spouse. No. Stalkers. I'm going to share a little story for just a second because I'll step away for just briefly. I love my kids dearly. I love to be involved with my kids very closely. So this week we were at Walmart, me and my oldest daughter, Emma. And I go to Walmart way too much because I know every greeter. I know Miss, I just went blank, bird on her shoulder. What is it? I know Miss Lesta, I know Jack. Jack's the older skinny guy with glasses, smiles. And then the other lady, she smiles occasionally. So she wasn't smiling at all the other day when we went into Walmart and we're in there doing our thing and we start coming back out and I start walking out the door. And I said, ma'am, I do believe she's been putting stuff in her pockets. You're going to need to check her immediately. And I'm real serious. And the lady goes, that's your kid. And I'm like, no, ma'am, I'm serious. She needs to learn her lesson today. I've had enough of this. You need to check her pockets. My 13-year-old daughter goes, I don't even have any pockets. And I'm like, dang, she outsmarted me. That lady from that point forward smiled the rest of the day. And then we got in the car, And Emma said, "Do you know her?" I said, "No, but she knows you now." Guarantee she'll remember you next time we come in here. How do we deal with disappointment? You got to forgive. You know, it really bothers me when you do this, Robin, but I've got to let go. You know what freedom does? Freedom releases the prisoner. The prisoner is me. Forgiveness releases the prisoner, and the prisoner is me. The Bible says in Mark 11, 25 and 26, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Have you ever seen my record? I need to be forgiven. I can't stand to hold a grudge. And I'm not talking about the one from way back here. That one will reach the back door. I'm talking about the one now. I'm talking about what I do daily now I need to deal with. I can't afford to hold a grudge. I need to be forgiven. If we don't forgive and move on, let go and let God, he's going to hold us bondage with disappointment. He's going to hold us bondage with distractions, and he's going to divide. We have to learn to forgive. We have to. We can't move on until we do. The next one, how do we deal with disappointment? Because family matters, right? We remain faithful. We be active. We stand firm in our faith. We remain faithful. You know, I get, me and Robin, you know, we've been together about 20 years, so we never have arguments. We never have disagreements. I mean, everything's great and perfect, right? Right, no. We remain faithful. We don't get wandering eyes. We don't get on Facebook and send messages. We don't quit coming to church. We don't stop telling each other. I might give her a hug and tell her I love her, but I'm gritting my teeth. I love you, Robin. But I don't stop doing it. I remain faithful. Remain faithful. We have to. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober. Be vigilant. Vigilant. I went to the 9th grade. I love Webster's Dictionary. Let me tell you what vigilant means. Vigilant means keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. We have to remain. Sober to me is a big word, just like vigilant, because I was a drug addict and I was an alcoholic before I got born again. So to me, sober means that I keep a clear mind, is what sober means to me. It doesn't just necessarily mean you don't do drugs and alcohol, but you keep a clear mind. One way you keep a clear mind, men, is you don't look at pornography on the computer. Be sober, be vigilant, because keeping careful watch for possible danger and difficulties, because the enemy wants to divide, because if he can divide through secret sin, because how do we distract ourselves with secret sins? None of you do that either, though, right? I never did either until about 3 years ago when I got set free. You guys want to be real? We'll be real. It's the only way I know how to be. I can't sugarcoat it. I can't lie about who I was. Because if I lie about who I was, how can you see who I am? Because I want you to see who I am because of Christ, so you might have to know who I was. I was that man that nobody needed around him because I was going to drag you down with me. I was not sober. I was not vigilant. What we're learning today is to keep careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. We're going to be sober. We're going to be vigilant because we have an enemy. And the enemy is not my wife. The enemy is not my kids. The enemy is not my mom and dad. We believe here at BCC, we believe in whole family units. We don't believe every household has to be dysfunctional. We believe that under the Word of God and under teaching, we can be a strong family unit. And we know that we can be. Because one reason is because we're rooted and planted in the house of God. Because we have something we call a home church, where we get involved and we do things with our family and we know each other personally. So then if you see me and you notice something different about my countenance, because you're being vigilant, you're keeping careful watch for me for possible dangers and difficulties. When you see me, you know me well enough to see if something's different, so you can call me and just call me out on it. Jason, are you okay? Your countenance looks a little different today. You're not glowing red from yelling and screaming. But you know what I mean? We know each other well enough to where we're sober and vigilant for our family. Last point. Last point, as the praise and worship finds their way up here today, we have to change our focus. If we don't change our focus, if all I'm focusing on is the negative, the disappointment, the distractions, if I'm focusing on that the enemy's trying to divide, you see, my mind can't hold two thoughts at one time. It can't hold a good thought and a bad thought. So I have to change my focus. If all I'm doing is focusing on the bad thought, trying to get rid of it, I'm not filling it with something good. So here's this closing verse today. Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. We have to change our focus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We have to change our focus. If all I focus in on is the fact that she took my spatula while I was cooking, I forget about her beautiful blue eyes. I have to change my focus. We don't want the enemy to win. We have to forgive, we have to remain faithful, and we have to change our focus. 2 Corinthians 2:14, my closing verse. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place because family matters. Family matters. We got a prayer team today? We don't have a prayer team, or we do? Okay, just wondering. My wife looked at me like I was crazy. This morning, maybe there's something in your family. Maybe there's something you need to forgive. Maybe there's something you need to refocus on. Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you because you can see the tactics of the enemy today better than you did yesterday. And you understand that he's trying to destroy your family unit. Any one of these people can pray with you. But today it all starts with a relationship with the family of God through Jesus Christ. Because if we don't have that, I can't have this family unit whole. If I'm not whole and complete in Christ, I can't be whole and complete as a husband, a father, or as anything else. So today, maybe you need to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Any one of these people can pray with you. Don't let fear, don't let pride, don't let anything keep you today from coming up for prayer. Today, you're holding on to something. Today's your day to let go and let God. So as we worship today, the altar's open. If you just want to pray by yourself, there's a big spot right here. That's perfectly fine. There's no problem with that. Maybe you just need to have a little quiet time with God by yourself. There's a row of chairs right there. You can kneel. You know what I'm saying. Today, let's be real with God today so He can be real with us from here on out. I want to pray today as we close. Father, we love You. Father, we thank You today for Your Word that is alive and powerful, Lord God. Father, I thank You today for helping me to settle into the peace that surpasses all understanding so I could preach. Father, today, draw Your people. Lord God, we thank You that it's Your goodness that draws us today, that it's that mercy and that grace, Lord God, that today we see a glimpse of newness in our homes because we know today that in Your eyes, family matters, Lord. Draw Your people today. We love You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand?